The scripture that I've chosen for us today for our call to worship comes from Psalm 145, verses 17 through 19. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and he will save them. Let's continue our service today by singing hymn number 344. Father, we we do indeed come. We come before you seeking your presence, seeking your face, seeking your blessing. We come in remembrance of the sacrifice that you sent your Son, that he gave for us so that we could have life. And we come looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb that we will someday enjoy with you, Father. Father, just be with us in great abundance with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Be with all of us that are participating in the service of, with the priesthood, especially Brother Rob as he brings the message. And be with the whole congregation. Father, fill us with the presence of your Holy Spirit, with that spirit of love, that spirit of joy, that spirit of peace. And let us truly know that we are in the house of the Lord. Father, guide us, be with us. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And I ask this thing in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen.
As we continue to search our souls this morning, recognizing the great gift that our Heavenly Father through his Son Jesus Christ has given us, what can we hold back? He made total sacrifice. Today we do celebrate the birthday of Christ Church, formed in April 6, 1830. And we recognize that as a great gift and a blessing to each one of us as his Holy Spirit continues to guide and direct our lives. So what offering have you chosen today to give? I know we ask for monies, but there's our talents, our time, our efforts to the church for his work, for his Zion. Reading from section 128. Living and acting honestly and honorably before the Lord, before God, in the sight of all men, using the things of this world in the manner designed of God, that the places where they occupy may shine as Zion, the redeemed of the Lord. Will the brethren come forth? Our Father in heaven, we bow before your throne this morning, recognizing that all that we are and all that we can be is because of your love unto us. And Father, we ask this day that as we come even offering a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that you might accept that offering. And as the monies are given, Father, we want to continue to support the work of Zion in this part of your vineyard. And so we ask a blessing upon it, that you might multiply it, Father, that it might go forth and to meet the needs. For Lord, we know that the monies given today that's not designated goes to our oblation fund, which reaches out to those who are in dire need. And Father, that we have needs within this congregation that can be met because of that offering. So, Father, we ask for that blessing and seal it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
the emblems of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper set before you, with the command from Christ himself that we eat and drink in remembrance of his flesh and blood. And as Christ ministered to the people here on this continent, we find an account of that in the third book of Nephi, chapter 8, verse 60, where he says, "And now behold, this is the commandment which I give unto you, that ye shall not suffer anyone knowingly to partake of my flesh and blood unworthily, when ye shall administer it. For whoso eateth and drinketh my flesh and blood unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to his soul. Therefore, if ye know that a man is unworthy to eat and drink of my flesh and blood, ye shall forbid him. Nevertheless, ye shall not cast him out from among you, but ye shall minister unto him and shall pray for him unto the Father in my name. And if it so be that he repenteth and is baptized in my name, then shall ye receive him and shall minister unto him of my flesh and blood." That is where we're at today. And the difference between those who have been found worthy to partake and those who are not is a covenant relationship. The Lord looks very seriously upon covenants. And so he looks for all to come into covenant with him, that he might be able to share more fully in that relationship of man with God. And so we come at this time to partake. O God, the Eternal Father,
We ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Possible facing the elbows while the prayer is read upon the mind. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
our eternal Heavenly Father. We, thy people, set before thee at this time. And Lord, as we have partaken of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, renewed once again that covenant that we made at the waters of baptism, repented of our sins that we might be pure before thee, and knowing that we will sin again. And yet, Father, we pray that because of this act today, that we might have a higher resolve, that we might cross ourselves in those things that, those sins that have so easily beset us in the past. Help us, Father, to think before we act, to consider the way that your Son lived his life, and ask that we might live the same life. Help us, Father, to walk in that same path. We pray, Father, that as we make those adjustments within our lives, that we might continue to call upon you to strengthen us, to guide us and direct us, that the lives that we live might be lives of purpose, lives that will be able to be a guiding light to those around us. For you've called us to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of this world. Not our light, but yours, that we reflect back to them. We pray, Father, that as we do this, that we might be able to more effectively be witnesses for you, and that as we do, that many will respond. We thank you, Father, for your greatness, your goodness, your mercy, that is extended new every day to each one. And so we ask you to guide us and direct us in all that we do, for we ask it in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. I'd like to share a very familiar scripture. It's short, but it shares what we're doing this day with you. And that's from the sixth chapter of Moroni. And the church did meet together oft to fast, and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And their meetings, and if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out, but they were not numbered, and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But as oft as they repented and sought forgiveness, with real intent, they were forgiven. I want to begin my thoughts this morning with asking a simple question. Why did you come here this morning? I'm going to share what I hope is the reason that you came, in my words anyway. We've come to this service of remembrance and repentance, seeking his forgiveness for our sins, desiring to renew our covenant with Almighty God, in the name of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We've come to this service of remembrance and repentance, seeking his forgiveness for our sins, desiring to renew our covenant with Almighty God in the name of his only begotten Son. I hope and pray that each of us can truly say that's our heart's desire and that's the reason we have come. I can only speak for myself. Jesus knows our very nature. He came, born of a woman. As a youngster, as a baby, dependent on his parents. Needed everything that we do, needed oxygen and food, sleep, water. He was subjected to pain, subject to temptation, and so forth, just as we are. But he wasn't the same as we are, in that we are born as natural men and women. And because of that, we are subject. We are listed in the scripture anyway, in Mosiah 1:19, the natural man is an enemy to God. He was not an enemy to God. But because we are sinful by nature, he volunteered to come to give each of us, each of you, an opportunity to return to God's presence, fulfilling God's desire and his purpose. Val mentioned in the prayer that most of us will return to some of our sinful ways. All of us are either sinners. We could break up everyone, every person in the world could be classified as either a sinner or a repentant sinner. One of God's greatest gifts to us is this gift of repentance, being able to come before the Lord, confessing our sins and seeking to forsake those sins within our lives. Always like the definition of repentance that was in Brother Updike's book, Whosoever Repenteth. Repentance is a continuing and a conscious positive response to an ever-increasing revelation of God. Mosiah tells us in the second chapter, 16th verse, to repent of our sins and forsake them. Forsake them means to do away with them, to not return to them. Now, this is not just for the first Sunday in the month. It's a daily exercise, a daily requirement for us to truly be repentant and to work on forsaking those things that separate us from God. Those are sins. So this is the day of remembrance. Now today's is a special day of remembrance because it's April 6th, 1830. April 6th was the day that the church, this is 195 years ago today, this is the day that is the birthday of the restoration of Jesus Christ's church. After being in the wilderness, the church was in the wilderness, according to Revelations 12:5, for 1260 years. Now, no one exactly knows when the church went into apostasy, but most of the scholars recognized it was between the years of 500 to 600 AD is when the original Christian church went into apostasy. So the Lord saw fit to bring it and the church back into an organization, and that was done in 1830. This is a statement that was from church history. We had been given opportunity and had made known to our brethren that we had received a commandment to organize the church, and accordingly we met together for that purpose at the house of Mr. Whitmer. There were six in number on the Tuesday, the sixth day of April, A.D. 1830. Having opened up the meeting by solemn prayer to our Heavenly Father, we proceeded, according to the previous commandment, to call on our brother to know whether they had accepted or whether they would accept us as their teachers and in the things of the kingdom of God, and whether they were satisfied that we should proceed and be organized as a church according to said commandment which we had received. To these they consented by a unanimous vote. I then laid my hands upon Oliver Cowdery, ordained him an elder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, after which he ordained me also to the office of elder of said church. We then took bread, blessed it, and brake it with them, also wine, and blessed it, and drank it with them. We then laid our hands upon each individual member of the church present, that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and be confirmed members of the Church of Christ. The Holy Ghost was poured out upon us to a very great degree, some prophesied, whilst we all praised the Lord and rejoiced exceedingly. 195 years ago to this day. April 6th is probably a significant date, and also in the life and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some years ago, Doug Smith shared a formula, a way to determine the date of the original resurrection and so forth, and that I don't know how to do that. I forgot that. He can remind me of that sometime. But it did point to April 6th. So this, we know this is a date in the middle of the possible dates for the resurrection. Since Easter, by definition, comes as the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. So it is a day in our history that we should remember as well. I wanted to go to a familiar scripture, set of scriptures. It can be found in either Mark 10. I'm going to use Matthew 19, verses 16 to 30. And behold, one came and said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life?" And in verse 17, "And he said unto him, Why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And then moving on down, and the young man basically said, "I've kept those commandments." And let's move down to verse 21. I'm sorry, 20. He says, "I have kept all these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I?" What else does he need to do? And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go sell all that that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." His directions were rather simple. Rather, go sell what you have, give to the poor, then come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had many great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Years ago, I heard, I don't remember, in a class or something, that supposedly this eye of the needle was a gate that was only available, the only way to get into the city at night, when they had closed all the other gates. And this was a very small, narrow entry between the two walls of Jerusalem that was used at night, mainly, requiring that the camels had to be unloaded and literally crawl through the gate. Now, the current walls and gates were built by the Ottoman ruler of Suleiman the Magnificent in the 1500s. There probably wasn't any gate such as that at the time of Christ. So with no better explanation, Jesus was speaking literally that it would be impossible. Impossible for a rich man to enter eternal life. Well, I don't know whether you consider yourself a rich man or not. If a certain person asked me and I say, well, no, I'm not rich because there's a lot of things I don't have that I'd like to have maybe. But no, if you consider the standard of living we have, the situation of looking at all the humans in the world, we're certainly rich, brothers and sisters, each one of us, in so many ways. And he's saying then, if for a rich man to enter, it's impossible. Well, we know that Peter basically questioned that and said, well, how can we do that then? And Jesus answered Peter, saying, while salvation was impossible for man, it was not impossible for God. All things are possible for God. So we must remember that. We know that there are others who were told something similar to this. For example, in Job 13 and 15. And this is Job saying, except he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He was persecuted. He had to give up. He was required to have given up his possessions, his livelihood, his herds, and so forth, virtually all. And then even inflicted with a lot of painful boils and so forth. Another response, so Job was, saying that, how would you respond? Well, Job said he would respond and say, even though you take everything, I won't disavow God. In Alma 13 is the story of, let's go there, Alma 13. Verses 50. Now this is Aaron expounding to the great king of the Lamanites. He said, what shall I do that I may have this eternal life that which thou hast spoken? And his response was, verse 50, I will give up all that I possess, yea, and if someone rich, this rich king was very rich, of course, I will forsake my kingdom that I may receive this great joy. So my question, brothers and sisters, is how would you respond to Jesus? He says, if you want to be with me, if you want eternal life, you need to sell what you have, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Are we rich? Are we privileged? I don't know what your response would be. I know that it might not be quite as simple as I'm trying to point it to you, but this was the question that was asked. Have you ever been to the point in your life where you'd say, yes, yes, I'm willing to give up everything to follow? Peter and Paul, I'm sorry, Peter and John and James, they gave up their livelihood. They chose to follow Jesus, and in so doing, they were able to count on being with Christ and in God's presence for eternity. We're running out of time, and I wanted to share with you some of the considerations that we might list. What changes might you list of what you want to do? What are you willing to give up to follow in Christ and be with him eternally? A year and a half ago or so at the Kirtland retreat, we were in the temple, and in the powerful service that was there, there was a powerful presence, the spiritual presence of peace and charity. And I became aware that the Lord desired me to further fulfill my callings and purpose to a greater degree than I was at that point. For the next 2 hours, many of the brethren there shared what changes they desired to make. I wrote down a few that I wanted to work on personally, and some of them may be something that you'd be considering as well. God desires us to enhance or improve our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's something that shouldn't be a one-time thing. It's a whole lifetime. Our personal relationship with Jesus needs to be improved, even on a daily basis, if we can. He desires us to become new creatures, not the same as when we came. He's calling us to prepare for his return, prepare for the fulfillment of his kingdom on this earth, Zion. Calling us to seek his kingdom first on a daily basis. To bring ministry to the lost and broken, not just focus on being ministered to. To warn my family members and my neighbors, co-workers, for young ones, students. To give up the worldly ways that I have, and to take up the new life that he would have me live. We mustn't get discouraged. We mustn't stop trying. What do I need? What do you need to give up or to repent of? I had a list of things that I put down there. Become a better steward of my time. To overcome my slothfulness, my dependence on the world, the idols that I choose sometimes over my Lord. All of these things can be overcome, but we need to be committed to that. I need to rethink my priorities and seek his help and blessing daily. My desire is that each of us would be able to look within our lives. I can only speak for myself, but you, if you had this encounter, are you willing to give up, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, to come and follow Christ, to receive eternal life? Yes, brothers and sisters, we're called to become as one, to follow the example that Jesus has given to us. We're called to become humble and repentant, to sacrifice self. And that sacrifice of self needs to become the fruit of our love for one another and for our Christ. In Romans 12:10, we're told to prefer our brothers. Of course, that means to prefer our brothers and sisters. I'm going to leave you with one question and another question. What will you do now, brothers and sisters? What will you do now? May God bless each of us in our daily walk, that it might be an effort that we make consciously each day to become what we've been called to become, to fulfill the purpose for which we've been created and given. What change will you make?
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow.
Almighty God, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity we've had this day to draw apart from the world for a time, to come to this place to meet with these, my dear brothers and sisters. We have come, Father, in remembrance of what you have done for us, the gift that you so freely have given to each of us, the opportunity to return to your presence for eternity. Father, we thank you that your Son is willing to come to pay a price that we couldn't pay, to redeem each of us if we would follow him and keep the commandments he's given to us and to give up the ways of the world. Father, I would pray for each of these, my brothers and sisters, as we depart from here and go from this place, that we might remember each day, each moment, that sacrifice you've made, that sacrifice your Son has made, that would allow us to be forgiven of our sins and to return to your presence. So bless us now as we would depart. Go with us, go before us. Continue to give us that desire each day to forsake those sins. Remove those barriers that we place between us and you, Father. So we seek this blessing now upon each of these, my brothers and sisters, and look forward to the blessings you have, for I ask all of this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
God from whom all blessings flow.